I'd like to bring the meeting of the State Health Affairs Committee to order. Time is 3:02 on February 23rd. Present are Representative Allard, Representative Armstrong, Representative Story, and myself, Representative Shaw. And Chair Wright's been previously excused. We have a quorum. If you would, please silence your cell phones. If anyone in the audience today needs to pass a note to the committee members, please get that to the attention of our aide, Josh Walton. He'll take care of it for us. I'd like to thank the committee secretary for her help today, Sophia Tenney, and our newcomer in the back, Cindy Truitt, one of the seven Truitts we've had back there, for doing the teleconferencing for us. First order of business today is House Bill 8, an act relating to electric-assisted bicycles, sponsored by Representative Carrick. It's the first hearing of this bill, and it's our intention to hear the bill presentation initially, and then we're going to do a sectional summary of the bill. We're going to briefly discuss the fiscal notes for the bill, and then we're going to take invited testimony and public testimony. After that, it's our intention to hold the bill to take it up at a later date. Following the committee, this committee, the bill has referrals to the House Labor and Conference Committee and House Transportation Committee. Representative Carrick and her staff, Stuart Relay, are here with us to present the bill. Representative Carrick, Mr. Relay, we welcome you to the House State Affairs. If you put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, members of the House State Affairs Committee, and thank you, Chair Shaw. Thank you for taking the time today to hear House Bill 8, which would add a definition for electric bicycles into state statute. I'm Ashley Carrick. I represent West Fairbanks, a community like many of those which we represent here, where people enjoy biking for recreational, for commuting, for transportation, and even for bike racing purposes. As a wise man and particularly esteemed member of this committee once said about Alaska's biking and particularly our tough-as-nails bike racing culture, the cowards won't show and the weak will die along the way. Anyway, House Bill 8 isn't actually about bike racing. Instead, this bill simply seeks to add a definition in statute for electric bicycles, bringing clarity to this no longer new but certainly popular form of recreation and transportation, and eliminating a current gray area in statute. This is my first time bringing this bill forward as a legislator, though it's not my first time presenting this bill. In the previous two legislatures, a version of this bill was brought forward for consideration by my predecessor, Representative Wohl. And in those previous legislatures, the bill was passed in the House with broad support and had moved through various committees in the other body as well. So today I just want to give a brief overview and explain why this bill is being brought forward again for consideration, and then have my staff, Stuart Relay, walk through our sectional and introduce the two invited testifiers we have on the line. So House Bill 8 has three broad goals. We want to first regulate electric-assisted bicycles as bicycles, update the statute to reflect technological advances in the recreational and transportation biking community, and also bring clarity to consumers and retailers on electric-assisted bicycle law. So the new definition that's being added in House Bill 8 for electric-assisted bicycles state that a bicycle, electric-assisted bicycle is one that is designed to travel with no more than three wheels in contact with the ground. If you're wondering why three wheels, there are some recumbent bikes that have three wheels. They are bikes that have fully operative pedals for human propulsion and have an electric motor with a power output not to exceed 750 watts, which is approximately one horsepower. And then in our bill, the e-bikes are further defined by three classes, which represent just the nature of what is being sold by retailers today and what the electric bike industry has as options. Class 1 bicycles assist while a rider is pedaling and stop providing assistance at a speed of 20 miles per hour. Class 2 are the only class that can propel a rider whether or not they are pedaling and stop providing assistance at 20 miles per hour. And Class 3 bicycles provide assistance only while a rider is pedaling and stop providing assistance at a speed of 28 miles per hour. And we are actually on the tail end of adopting similar legislation among the 50 states. There are currently 37 states with the language that we present here in House Bill 8. There are several states with just less clarifying language. And then there are four states, which includes Alaska, which do not have any definition for electric bicycles in statute. So one of the things that House Bill 8 does is it really specifically defines what an e-bike is not. There are several reference definitions that my staff will cover in the sectional, which essentially identify e-bikes as bicycles and not as any of the following: as mopeds, dirt bikes, segways, motor scooters, motorcycles, cars, or electric wheelchairs. And again, e-bikes have to have fully operative pedals and have an engine size not exceeding that 750 watts. And that's two aspects of our definition which firmly set e-bikes apart from being bicycles, or from being any of those other items besides bicycles. The last thing that I'll mention is just that I do not personally have a stake in this one way or another. I don't own an electric bicycle. What the impetus for bringing this bill forward is we want to clear up this gray area. We want the statute to reflect what's currently available on the market and being utilized by Alaskans. This doesn't increase the use of electric bicycles where they may already be getting used, and it doesn't limit the usage of electric bicycles either. It's simply adding a definition and then allowing municipalities and local governments to make decisions about how to further regulate electric bicycles. And with that, I'll turn it over to my staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Stuart Relay, Staff Representative Carrick, and thank you to the committee for hearing House Bill 8. As Representative Carrick just said, I'm going to read through the sectional. So Section 1 amends AS 1910-399-9, and this section just clarifies that an e-bike is not a car or a truck. Sections 2, 3, and 4 make it so existing language for bicycles includes e-bikes. Section 2 amends AS 1910-399 in parentheses 16. The section regulates e-bikes as bicycles on paths, right-of-ways, and areas. Section 3 amends AS 2505-011-alpha to state that an electric-assisted bicycle should be regulated as a bicycle in regards to rules of the road. It also includes electric-assisted bicycles under an existing provision allowing for municipal ordinances to separately regulate the in this area. Section 4 amends AS 2810-011 to state that, to specify that an e-bike does not need to be registered by the Division of Motor Vehicles or anyone else. Section 5 amends AS 2890-990-alpha-12 to specifying that an e-bike is not an electric personal motor vehicle, which in this case is a Segway. Section 6 amends AS 2890-990-alpha-18 to specify that an e-bike is not a car or a truck. Section 7 amends AS 2890-990-alpha-19. This one's pretty self-explanatory. It says that an e-bike is not a motorcycle. Section 8 amends AS 2890-990-alpha-20 to state that an e-bike is not a moped. And Section 9 is kind of a larger section. It amends AS 2890-990-alpha-33-36. And so this establishes the three-class system that Representative Carrick discussed in her opening remarks. And it is and again, this has been adopted in 37 other states. As well as the municipality of Anchorage. But so this section says a class 1 bicycle is section 34 or subsection 34, excuse me. A class 1 e-bike is one that stops providing assistance at 20 miles an hour and you have to be able to pedal it to get the assistance. Class 2 in subsection 35, this one provides the electric assistance with or without pedaling, and subsection 36 defines a class 3 e-bike as one that assists up to 28 miles an hour, and it'll stop giving the assistance after 28 miles an hour, and much like class 1, only works while you're pedaling. And then this is just a continuation of section 9 for subsection 30, alpha 37, and this says this section basically clarifies what an e-bike is. They are bicycles, again, as Representative Carrick said, that have two fully operative pedals for human propulsion with not more than three wheels in contact with the ground, have electric motors that do not exceed 750 watts of power output, and fall into one of the three classes that I just mentioned and listed. Section 10 amends AS 4223-300, and this basically establishes that wherever a bicycle is mentioned in statute, that it is a bicycle and an electric assisted bicycle. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the sectional analysis. As Representative Carrick said, we do have two invited testifiers, one of whom is from Fast Planning in Fairbanks. That's Fairbanks Area Surface Transportation. They basically do the pedestrian stuff and bike infrastructure and other supporting infrastructure in Fairbanks. And also Lee Hart, who's with the Alaska Outdoor Alliance, and that, Mr. Chairman, are my remarks.
I've got a couple of questions initially. One, you mentioned Segway earlier. I'm assuming Segways are not regulated. And the difference is Segways are not pedal assisted. Is that the difference?
To the chair, I'm actually not certain that Segways are not regulated, but they are defined in statute and they do not have pedals.
And that's the difference between what you're proposing and where Segways are at today is the pedal assistance, because they're both electric motors.
To the chair, the fully operative pedals would be one aspect in which they're different. And I'm not sure if every Segway out there today has at least two wheels. So there might be a couple questions there, but Segways have a completely separate definition in statute for reasons that were described to me a couple of years ago, and I can't quite remember, but it was a political thing at the time to add Segways in there specifically by themselves.
Understood. I have one more question. Concerning page 5, subsection D, that places the motor power limit at 750 watts instead of 1,000 watts. It's my understanding that it's not overly common, but there are some bicycles out there that have, or e-bikes that have a 1,000-watt motor that qualifies as class 1 or 2. Now, I would assume that they are regulated to stop assisting at 20 miles an hour if they're 1,000 watts.
Yes. So to the chair, and I would be, you know, again, this language is been sort of the industry standard, but I think in the years in which this bill has been brought forward, it's possible that there are now class 1, 2, or 3 e-bikes that are slightly different than those categories. I would say my intent with this bill is to have a bill to have electric bicycles not exceed the 20 or 28 miles per hour assistance categories. And so if there are bikes currently being sold that have higher wattage, but don't exceed those class definitions in other ways, then I would be open to amending the legislation to that effect. But that's not something that I've heard about in the past.
All right, thank you. No questions from the committee? That brings us to invited testimony. We're expecting to have Lee Hart from the Alaska Outdoor Alliance and Jackson Facts from Fast Planning in line for invited testimony. Are they both online? I'll go ahead and open public testimony. Taking at ease. Back on the record. Brings us to invited testimony. We're going back to invited testimony. We're expected to have Lee Hart from the Alaska Outdoor Alliance speak on behalf of the e-bike.
Great. This is Lee. Can everyone hear me? Can I get confirmation for that?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, great. Well, good afternoon, and thank you, Chairman Chawla and members of the House State Affairs Committee, for allowing me to provide information to help inform your deliberations on HB 8, the e-bike bill before you today. My name is Lee Hart, and I am a lifelong outdoor recreation enthusiast. I climb, ski, snowboard, and bike every chance I get all year long. I have been fortunate to work in the outdoor industry for the past 2 decades, thus enjoying the perfect work-life balance. In fact, I first landed in Alaska in the epic winter of 2011-2012 to work with a heli ski operator in Valdez. After stints in Anchorage and Juneau 2 years ago, I moved to Haines, Alaska's adventure capital. Since 2018, I've been raising awareness and advocating on behalf of our state's $2.2 billion outdoor recreation economic cluster. In fact, the 8th annual Confluence Summit is coming to Fairbanks this fall, and I invite all of you to join conversations we will have there about the role of outdoors in regenerative economic development. I come before you today in my role as leader of a nascent statewide active transportation coalition with members from Fairbanks to Juneau. Some of these groups, including our two municipal planning organizations, have provided written testimony in favor of this measure, and I know you're going to hear from Jackson Fox from Fast Planning from Fairbanks also this afternoon. This new active transportation coalition is seeded in part by the Alaska Department of Health, which has a federal grant that includes a requirement to make more access to physical activity available to more Alaskans. Before I go into more about the bill, first a bit of level setting. E-bikes resemble traditional bikes in both appearance and operation. The bicycle's low speed, nearly silent electric motor provides a boost of power to climb hills and extends the range of trips where a bicycle can be used. It allows current bike users to bike more often and farther and provides a new recreation option for people who want to bike and in general extend the range of any ride. Reasons for purchasing an e-bike vary, with some, like college students, looking for an alternative commuting mode, and others, like seniors, looking for a less physically demanding bicycle option or help pedaling up hilly areas. E-bikes may also provide a more attractive and feasible choice to take short trips. This is important because according to the U.S. Department of Transportation survey data, half of all trips in the U.S. are 3 miles or less in length, a distance widely regarded as a bikeable range for most adults, and even more feasible for e-bike riders. For this reason and others, e-bike sales have grown 300% in the past 5 years, making this the fastest growing segment of the bicycle industry, at least according to an article from Bicycle Retailer and Industry News. The language of HB 8, as Representative Carrick already pointed out, aligns with the 37 states that have created this three-tier definition of e-bikes. Consistency of definition and an understanding of where, generally, each type of e-bike can travel is good for bike manufacturers, like Alaska-based 907 and Fatback Bikes. It's good for retailers and rental operations like Beaver Sports, Prospector Outfitters, Goldstream and REI Co-op in Fairbanks, and Anchorage, and plus Trek, Speedway, Chain Reaction, many. I'm trying to paint the picture that we have a lot of bike shops. Plus, we also have hundreds and thousands of members that comprise our state's numerous mountain bike and cycling clubs and race organizations that range in places from Kodiak Island Mountain Bike Association, Homer Cycling Club, a number of clubs in the Matsu Valley, and then Single Track Advocates, Bike Anchorage, and Anchorage and Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance, and more. You can also find e-bikes even in the heart of Southeast at established sales, rental, and bike tour companies in Sitka, Juneau, Yakutat, and elsewhere. E-bikes are here, and more are coming. Reducing confusion, which this bill does, which can be a barrier to sales and use of bikes, is good for business and it's good for expanding access to healthy lifestyles for even more Alaskans. I applaud you, Chairman Shaw, and members of this committee, sponsoring Senator Kawasaki, as well as Representatives Carrick, Laddie, and others for their leadership on this issue, and I hope this measure will pass. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Hart. Are there any questions for Ms. Hart before we let her go? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hart, for your testimony. Mr. Fox, are you online?
Yes, I'm online. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, my name is Jackson Fox, and I'm the executive director of Fast Planning up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'll keep my comments brief for everyone here today. On behalf of Fast Planning, I just want to offer general support for House Bill number 8. Specifically, we support providing a definition in state statutes for e-bikes and separating slash distinguishing them from motor vehicles. We also support categorizing the e-bikes under that three-class system, which is considered model legislation used in 37 other states. We also support waiving registration for e-bikes since they are not motor vehicles. And we support separating e-bikes from motor-driven cycles, so distinguishing them from motorcycles, motor scooters, and motorized bicycles. So we support this bill in full and don't have any amendments to offer at this time, but I will note that our local Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee is looking at the bill's language at this evening's meeting, and if anything comes to our attention, we will pass that along to Ms. Carrick's office. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Well, Mr. Fox, this is Representative Shaw. Is FAST an acronym for something?
FAST Planning is the spelling is Fairbanks Area Surface Transportation Planning, and we are the state-designated metropolitan planning organization for the Fairbanks and North Pole area and do the transportation planning for the road network in the interior.
Okay, thank you. We have any questions for Mr. Fox? Seeing none. That brings us to public testimony. I'll go ahead and open public testimony now. Brief at ease. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide testimony on House Bill 8? Okay, please bring yourself forward and tell us who you are and who you're associated with.
Thank you so much. My name is Deani Chapman. I'm the state director with Alaska Environment. We're a statewide environmental nonprofit organization. And we're in support of regulating e-bikes as bicycles. There's a booming interest right now in e-bikes. They actually outsold both electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids in 2021. And that makes sense. They allow people to bike much longer ranges than they would if they didn't have that assist. It eases the burden of hills, whether they're mountain biking or just have hills within the city. And then they also increase the cargo load that most folks can handle. So it opens up opportunities to do their grocery shopping with an e-bike or to take their kids to school or daycare or anything like that. So just overall, it allows more people to use bicycles to have that assistance. And when more people can use bicycles, it reduces air pollution and it opens up more energy efficient options for travel for more people. And regulating e-bikes as bicycles just makes it easier and safer for most people to take advantage of this technology. And I've spent time in states that regulate bicycles like e-bikes like that, and it's been comfortable to share space as a pedestrian and as a bicyclist that was not assisted with those e-bikes as well. So definitely in support of this, and thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, we have Ken Hall. I'd like to provide testimony. Please put yourself on the record and your affiliation.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Ken Hill. I live here in Juneau, and I'm one of the owners of Juneau Bike Doctor, small bicycle shop here in town. So we certainly have an interest in this bill. And what I've seen so far, I'm off the cuff with this stuff. I wasn't really prepared. But what I see so far is just adopting of language that's already in place and that follows kind of the trends that are going on in the industry right now. What we've seen with e-bikes has been a tremendous amount of growth. We really started seeing the growth of e-bikes coincidentally right around when we opened our store in 2018. And the pace at which the e-bike community is growing has been honestly quite surprising, considering the cost of the bikes. But we are seeing a wide range of people that are using the e-bikes, from people that are fully commuting and using their bike as a mode of transportation to fitness and just general recreation. So I support this language. I would encourage, if there's people that have questions about e-bikes and the different categories of e-bikes, I'm certainly open anytime somebody wants to stop by and get kind of an e-bike 101. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hill. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify on behalf of House Bill 8? Thank you, Ms. Chapman and Mr. Hill, for your testimony. Do we have anyone online who would like to provide testimony on House Bill 8?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Douglas Biggers, are you online?
I am.
Yeah, can you give us your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony, please?
My name is Douglas Biggers. I live in Petersburg, Alaska. Petersburg. I am speaking on behalf of myself. I'm in favor of HB 8 because it does open up more options that have been discussed here. As I recall, the original impetus for this bill was someone who had lost their driver's license due to a DUI in Anchorage, but still had to get to work. In my case, I am somewhat visually impaired. There is no way you want me driving a car on the road, but an e-bike is about as close as I will get to having a motorized vehicle until Kit Light comes out, and no, a Tesla auto driving does not count.
Mr. Biggers, is that your testimony?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mark Grober, are you online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you give us your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony, please?
Sure. My name is Mark Grober. I am an attorney in Anchorage, Alaska. I run a Facebook forum, Anchorage Bicyclists, with 500 members. I am testifying today on behalf of myself only. I want to start out by suggesting that I'm a little bit distressed that there has never been a reference to 15 U.S.C. Section 2085. What does 15 U.S.C. 2085 say? 15 U.S.C. 2085 defines low-speed electric bicycles, and it defines them as two or three-wheeled vehicles with fully operable pedals, electric motor less than 750 watts, whose maximum speed on a paved level surface when powered solely by such a motor while ridden by an operator who weighs 170 pounds is less than 20 miles per hour. And Section D of that provision says that federal law is preemptive. So it seems that we have a statute that was promoted by the Consumer Protection Agency that defines what these vehicles are, and it sets the fact that they're preemptive. One of the problems that we have to deal with is that the classes being described are meaningless. Wattage ratings are largely useless unless you specifically identify how you are computing the wattage. ebikes.ca/learn/power-readings.html, and I'll provide the URLs to the committee, goes on at length to demonstrate that the wattage ratings are meaningless. And in fact, in Anchorage, one of the popular vendors has been renting out the Aventon Adventure, which is peak rated at 1100 watts, and calls to APD have resulted in no enforcement. So the bottom line here is that despite the fact that we have all these classes and descriptions, the use of these vehicles will be totally unenforced. Now, what about fiddling with the governors? The governing of these vehicles, for those who aren't aware what a governor is, it restricts the speed, are all essentially software-based. And already there are fixes, you can go to YouTube and find them at your leisure, to essentially undo any of the governor software that's involved. So the bottom line, what you're doing here is you're putting electric motorcycles, some of which can reach speeds of 40 miles an hour, on multi-use trails with people, old ladies and mothers with prams. It's very dangerous. Now, I want to give you a comparison. If you have a 250-pound individual on an e-bike moving at 20 miles an hour, and they hit some pedestrian on the multi-use trail, that's like that pedestrian getting hit at speed by an NFL linebacker. It's not a fun experience. Now, I used to coach football for high school, and I've been hit by a high school linebacker, and that was no fun. I don't think anybody wants to be hit by an NFL linebacker. Is it likely that this might happen? The truth of the matter is that most of the people who are driving these bikes are really unprepared to handle the bikes at that speed. And because of the nature of the pedal assist that's available, they can typically go much faster than they have the facility to control. The other item I wanted to mention in passing, since we heard from FAST, is as FAST knows, DPS has refused to do anything about our bicycle regulations since our traffic code was adopted. These regulations are severely out of date, and they result in bicyclists getting, well, I guess the polite term is murdered, on our roads all the time. In Anchorage, we have some 30 to 35 individuals run over by cars legally traveling on the roads every year. We need to fix the full regulations and statutes addressing bicycles before we allow what amounts to unrestricted electric motorcycles on our trails.
Mr. Grover, could you wrap it up if you would, please?
Yes. I want to explain something to people who think that this is not a big deal. In Anchorage, which is where we have some of the best multi-use trails in the state, it's not unusual to see approaching speeds between two bicycles at over 40 miles an hour. You take two approaching vehicles at 20 miles an hour and put some little kid running across the trail, and you have a recipe for disaster. What this bill does,
Mr. Grover, thank you,
is it puts a 40-mile-an-hour vehicle on the trail, and there's no way that any enforcement agency will ever do anything about it. Thank you very much.
Mr. Grover, thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Grover from the committee? Mr. Grover, thank you for your testimony. back on the record. Mr. Grober, are you still online? Okay. Representative Carrick, are any of those issues, questions that might be taken care of through your testimony?
Yeah, for the record again, Ashley Carrick, representative for House District 35, and to the chair, most of Mr. Grover's comments, I think, are areas of interest or points of clarification related to just how bicycle users or e-bike users currently use trails and whether they have control and whether they are utilizing the speed they have, whether they're power pedal assisted or not appropriately. And just the one thing I would mention is, again, this bill is not taking a stance on e-bike usage for or against. It's simply adding and updating our statutes to reflect the technological advances of how bicycles are being used to include electric bicycles. And so the one comment I would make is, while it is devastating when folks have encounters with other people or wildlife on an electric bicycle or a bicycle, this bill does not address those potential public safety challenges with either mode of transportation, and users should expect to obey the rules of the road or the rules of the trail, whether they're biking on a traditional bicycle or on an electric bicycle.
Thank you, Representative Carrick. Any questions for Representative Carrick? Representative Allard.
Thank you, and through the chair, Representative Shaw, would you allow me to make a comment?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, thank you for bringing it forward. For some of us who are older, we struggle getting over the hill, so I appreciate this. I am looking forward to this hitting the floor and hopefully a unanimous vote. So I actually do have a preference, and I know you said you don't, for or against. I'm absolutely behind this. I think this is really great. And you had mentioned earlier in your testimony that it would actually be up to the MOA, or that would be Municipality of Anchorage, or it would be up to boroughs to decide further regulating this. Is that correct?
Yes, so through the chair to Representative Allard, and in fact, the Municipality of Anchorage has adopted the language that's in this legislation for defining e-bikes on a municipal level. And I believe Mr. Grover was testifying from Anchorage. I could be wrong about that, but this language is actually currently in effect in Anchorage, and so the municipality, with or without this legislation, has the ability to further limit where they choose to have different classes of electric bicycles. Or another potential is if a borough or a municipality chose to define e-bikes as motorized for purposes of using trails, they could do that. So they could further restrict use of e-bikes, but without that clarity in statute, it's quite a bit harder to just even know where to start, I think, for many local governments. So this helps add that at the state level.
May I do a quick follow-up? Thank you. Through the chair, that is true. And in fact, I was sitting on the assembly when we passed that we wanted our city, Anchorage, to become more bike-friendly. So again, thank you for bringing this forward. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any additional questions from committee members or public testimony? Yeah, I'm sorry. Dale Banks, are you online?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, can you give us your name, affiliation, and proceed with your testimony, please?
Yes, thank you. My name is Dale Banks. I live in Homer, Alaska. I'm an e-bike and a traditional bike rider. I'm a board member of Homer Cycling Club, and I also own an e-bike shop here in Homer. I've testified on House Bill 123, House Bill 87, and now this House Bill 8, so I am hopeful that this one will pass. Support the bill and hope it moves quickly through the committees. Alaska is one of the last states, as you've heard, without e-bike laws and defined e-bike classes. E-bikes are still considered motor-driven cycles here in Alaska. So they're not permitted on the bike paths and they require license and registration. As e-bikes get more and more popular as a means of commuting, which is an excellent way to substitute something where you get some exercise and very efficient instead of driving a car, and for recreating, it's important to implement these e-bike regulations so that the e-bike owners are aware of where they can and can't ride. Also, as has been pointed out, they will have the rights and responsibilities of bicycle riders when on the trails. You need to be yielding to pedestrians on bike trails or multi-use trails. That's just a requirement. And if the e-bikes are classified as and regulated as bikes, they will be required to do so as well. We do get a lot of tourists up here, especially down here in Homer. People bring their e-bikes from other states. This law, which I appreciate, is being put forward with consistent language that's been used in other states. So when people come up here, they'll know what to expect, and they'll be basically following the same types of regulations they have at home. So that will help any enforcement issues. As far as speeds go, and tampering and changing things with the bike, the way it's defined right now, if you do that, it will no longer be an e-bike. So you will be in violation. You won't be able to ride on bike paths and wherever bikes can go. So if you tamper with your bike and make it go, well, I have no 750-watt bikes that can go 40 miles an hour, and I've never seen one, but if someone manages to do that, it would no longer be classified as a bicycle. So I don't think that's a valid reason to not support this bill. So in summary, I wholeheartedly support this and hope we'll move quickly through all the committees and get adopted this session. Thank you for letting me comment.
Thank you, Mr. Banks. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Banks? Seeing none. Any additional public testimony? Seeing none. Closing public testimony on House Bill 8. With that, we're going to hold this bill over. If there are any additional questions from members of the bill sponsor, staff, or any of our invited testifiers, we'll entertain them on the next hearing. Very well. With that, we'll hold this bill to a later date. If any members would like to have amendments considered for this bill, I'll set an amendment deadline of noon on Monday, February 27th. If members would like for their amendments to be considered by the committee, please have it into my office by that time. Proposed amendments received after that time will not be considered. At this time, we'll hold House Bill 8 for consideration at another hearing. We are adjourned at 3:45.